That is very cool, Dave Hopper. We are going to be talking to Jesse Feiler, developer consultant and author specializing in Apple technologies, about cybercrime. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to film critic Thelma Adams, who will give us an award at Academy Awards preview, a preview of the Oscars, which will be held this coming Sunday. So all of that coming up on the program. It's always a great pleasure when we welcome Jesse Feiler back to the show. Jesse is a developer consultant and author. He is the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the meeting management app, and Saranac River Trail app, a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media tools. His books include Swift for Dummies, which is out soon, I believe.
I think it's shipping this week.
There you go. Out very soon. And the iOS Development for Dummies, which is out. And you can find out more and follow along, because Jesse's very kind and puts up articles and all kinds of supporting materials about what we're going to talk about at NorthCountryConsulting.com. NorthCountryConsulting.com, which you can also find at our website, WAMC.org. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Jesse Feiler back to the roundtable. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Wonderful. Very nice to have you here, as always. So let us begin, because we touched on the subject. Well, not touched. We really talked about this issue of privacy and security last time you were here. And since then, a lot has been going on, and we're going to talk to you about cybersecurity. So what do we need to know? Because last time you were telling us basically 10 things that, you know, we could be doing, but, you know, that we thought we would be doing, right, that that weren't really helping us.
Well, I thought maybe we'll start. Can I ask you a personal question?
Absolutely. Sure. We've known each other a long time. That's fine.
How much is your mother's maiden name worth?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
You know, that's typically a security question.
Absolutely. And it's one of the few that I can actually remember.
Yeah. Well, the when people hack into your data and steal your identity, they get information like this, including your mother's maiden name. And what to me is starting to get very, very interesting is that we talk about preventing hacking and the things you can do to protect your security.
Yes.
And that's very important. But after you've been hacked, if someone does steal your data, there are steps you can go through to repair the damage. And there's a tremendous imbalance between both sides of this equation.
Okay, how so?
How so is that it varies depending on what the hack is and so forth, what it takes for you to repair the damage, get new credit card numbers, you know, perhaps change a bank account, notify people, and so forth. There's a lot of work involved if the damage is done.
Okay. And should we note here that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but and sometimes we may not even know the extent of the damage
or
if the damage has been done at all.
Right. But it, you can lose money, even if it's covered by your credit card issuer, if you report it in time.
Your bank.
Whoever. It's a big deal.
Right.
And meanwhile, the crook who has stolen this stuff can sell the information on the black market.
So they would have my numbers, as and in addition, passwords.
And your mother's maiden name.
And my mother's maiden name. Okay.
Now, I happen to have in front of me it's not the most recent, but a fairly recent price list for this information.
So this will tell me how much my mother's maiden name is worth.
Yes.
Okay.
$6.
No, it's worth much more than that, Jenny. should be worth much more than that.
This is no reflection on your mother.
Right. But it's $6.
$6. And if you think about what happens on both sides of this theft, the hack, the person who steals the information can then sell it on the black market and make $6 on a mother's maiden name.
So like the mattress salesman, it you make your money in volume.
Right.
Okay.
But the person in the middle whose data is involved, to replace the information, well, you can't really replace your mother's maiden name.
But to put new information in.
Yes. It's going to cost you more than $6.
Okay.
And that's, to me, that's where all of these issues really come together, which is this tremendous imbalance between the value of this information to you and the value to a criminal.
And so let me ask a couple of questions. So it doesn't really matter what the question is, right? So they could, 'cause they would get it no matter what it is. So because I'm always flummoxed. They'll ask me four or five questions, and sometimes they ask you something like, "What's your favorite color?" And then I'll say, "Well, I remember what I said because I don't think I really have one." It's like, maybe red, maybe blue. I have nothing against. Right, I have nothing against any particular color. So I don't know what I would answer at any given time. And even when you say like, "What's your favorite sports team?" Well, okay, but I have a basketball team, a hockey team, baseball, football. So then which one am I talking about? So when you have something like that's very definitive, like your mother's maiden name, or what was the street you grew up on, or where were you born? Well, those are easier for me to remember because they're very specific. But as for the hacker goes, it doesn't really matter what the answer is.
What's happened is that the mother's maiden name question used to be the standard question.
Yes.
And now, as the financial institutions and others have started increasing security, they've been adding questions. And the latest wrinkles are that they add perhaps four questions, and they let you pose the question and the answer when you set up the account.
Yeah.
So the mother's maiden name may be in there, but what they've done is they've devalued the price of the mother's maiden name because it's no longer the key to so many accounts.
It's one of many. Okay.
So that's something that's happening that's positive on that side.
But all that really does, and correct me again if I'm wrong here, but all that really does is lessens the money that the crook gets. But as far as our problem goes of whether they asked us what our favorite ice cream flavor is and they got that information, well, we still have the problem of solving it and getting that back, which comes into the cost to us.
Right. But the better way is to prevent it.
Okay.
And by going the route of letting you choose the questions, that, to me, I think is the key. That's the key.
Okay.
Because you can choose questions to which you know the answer and that you will not forget.
Right.
No, I can't use that. But you see,
you have to write that down. I want to know what's going through your mind. What size shoe do you wear?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. The questions won't work for everyone.
Right.
So that starts to then devalue the data that they stole, like the mother's maiden name.
Right.
The Social Security numbers, your mother's maiden name is valuable now. Social Security numbers are down to $3.
Because they are so easy to come by?
That's my guess. They're so easy to come by, or there are so many protections that are being put into place. And a year ago, they were $5.
Oh, so the the price now, on our Social Security number is going down.
Let me just interrupt this discussion to say that the reason I know all of this.
Yes, sir.
Is I'm not in that business.
Right.
I looked it up on the website of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center, which is part of the government. It's linked on my site. And this came from a Rand Corporation report.
All right. So if we go to North Country Consulting, we can see this report.
Yeah. If you need more up-to-date information, and you could probably go into a search engine and find it and find the person with whom you should transact business. This is a remarkably visible area if you just look.
Now,
I'm making no recommendations, but it's out there.
So can I ask a question that's going to come off as a question?
Isaacs.
It's going to come off as a question that is asked by a cynical journalist, but let me just ask it anyway, which is where we're putting the information into, i.e., our banking site, our credit card company, the cable company, whatever the case may be, how much should we trust them, and are they at all part of the problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone is part of the problem. Everyone is part of the problem.
Okay. I mean, they're not, obviously they don't want to do anything to harm us directly because they want us to remain a customer with them. However, it does seem that they do make it very, very difficult sometimes to access your information. And sometimes I wonder if that helps them more than it helps us.
Well, when it's done properly and it starts, the financial institutions, I think, are getting pretty good at this. For instance, the thing about the questions to gain access to an account. If they let you, and this is how I assume it's implemented, it may not be, but if they say, here are four questions to use in getting to your data, please provide us with the questions and the answer. So you might decide a question will be, what is the color of my first car?
Okay.
That's a common one.
All right.
But you can choose it from a list.
Right.
And then you provide the answer. And you say white Honda or something. I am hoping that in the implementation of this, when it comes time to challenge someone trying to get into the account, the text of the question is presented to the user, of question number one is presented to the user. And the user types in answer to question number one, and the software compares the two. There is no intrinsic need for the software to know what you have chosen as question number one.
Okay.
And especially if you're creating the question, then there's no need for it to store anything except what is going to be presented back. So the questions and the answers can be kept pretty secure when they're encrypted. Nothing is totally secure. You can always decrypt stuff, but the more we get back from using these standard numbers and codes, the better we are.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and then you can please consider an option, an answer to this question being, let's not go there right now, okay? And that question is, how important and how much should we be aware and read in and try, even if that's possible, try to understand the privacy and security policies that we sign on to when we're giving the information that we're giving?
How much should we
be
aware
of? Well, I think I'm speaking for most people when I say we see a lot of very small typed gobbledygook and we just want to get to the next screen. So we press yes or we check yes and then we move on to the next screen.
Okay. I can't say how much we should be concerned or aware. I can say that for most people, much more than we are.
Okay.
That I think is a very fair, because you're right. We just go to the next screen.
Right.
And you said it too. Also, some of these things are made too complicated. The password mess, where we now have, they started years ago by saying the password has to be 6 characters long, a letter or a number.
Right.
You can't put special characters into it. Now they've figured out to bring us into sort of the like early 1900s, we can write better code. So you can put a special character in there and then you're required to do it. So now some people want a password with 1 uppercase, 1 lowercase, 3 numbers, 2 symbols. So that's a nice password you can construct. And if you play by those rules, that password will not work in another account.
Because my ultimate question to you was going to be, if Bank A, what should we be looking for in those policies that we sign on to and agree to when we give our information? Meaning, if Bank A has this and Bank B has this, are they all pretty much the same, or are there huge differences that we as the consumer should be looking for and I guess shopping for in some way of this is what we are looking for in the security and privacy agreement with the, in this case, bank or whatever?
I think with financial institutions, I think they're pretty much standard, but it's the other institutions we now have to look at.
Right. So we're talking about our, whether it be our light bill, the power company, the cable company, or wherever we're shopping.
Forget shopping.
Okay.
The next big opportunity for the crooks is healthcare.
Oh, healthcare.gov. Okay.
And healthcare is the tremendous opportunity now for the crooks. And just as we tighten up on financial data, this has become a major opportunity because it seems, I think, a lot of the people doing that in the financial institutions world, people are used to security. And in the healthcare world, I think it's sort of a new thing for many people.
We're out of time, but hopefully we can talk about this maybe next time.
Yes.
All right. Jesse Feiler is with us. He's from North Country Consulting. NorthCountryConsulting.com provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. Jesse, it's always a pleasure to have you before our microphones. Thank you so much.
Good to be here.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.